You know, every time I speak, I want the truth to come out. You know what I'm saying? Every time I speak, I want to shiver. You know, I don't want them to be like, they know what I'm going to say because it's polite. They know what I'm going to say. And even if I get in trouble, you know what I'm saying? That ain't that what we're supposed to do? It's, I'm not saying I'm going to rule the world or I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee that I will spark the brain that will change the world.
Truth seekers, please understand, Mental Dialogue is much more than just a talk show. Each and every Saturday, we communicate with you for two reasons, to dialogue and connect. On the dialogue side, we cater to you intellectual outcasts who feel you have no place for honest discourse on race, sex, culture, and African-American business. On the connect side, we've created a community where you can connect with experts specifically in finance, whether personal or business, and mental health, whether it's trauma or to optimize performance, along with all the other skill sets from other MD community members. Our mission was to create a virtual nationwide neighborhood where African Americans learn to trade ideas, goods, and services through social media, meetups, and this podcast. To become a neighbor of the Mental Dialogue Community Club, please visit us at mentaldialogue.com. We are better with you than we are without you. We can be neighbors even though we don't live next to each other. Hashtag raise the culture.
Good morning, Latrice. I am your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with my special guest co-host, Latrice Ross. Thank you, Queen, for being with me this morning as we kick off with, in a sense, our new intro. We used it a couple times, but it is now the permanent intro, breaking down the not only this show, but the actual Mental Dialogue Community Club, which you have been a longtime member and supporter of. So, again, thank you, Queen, for being with me for this morning's Mental Dialogue Talk Show. Before we let the cat out the bag on this morning's discussion, if you will, say hello to the intellectual outcasts out there listening, and if you will, give people any background you would like to give, maybe as it relates to the show or not, but either way, I'm glad you're holding me down for this morning's show, but thank you for being with me, Queen.
Sure. Good morning. Happy to be here. I'm Latrice Ross. I'm a diversity and inclusion professional. I've been doing that work for about 15 years, and I guess as it relates to this topic, I have a master's in psychology, granted the psychology of work, but also my lived experiences lend itself to this topic.
No, absolutely. If you are a first-time listener, again, I go by the name Black Socrates, and so we typically try to take the Socratic method to solving these issues on race, sex, and culture. I always highlight that we are the best in the world at having these conversations. And so, if you will, we put the show in the form of a question. And so this morning's discussion question, we've touched on this topic before, but hopefully some people will call in and give us their life experiences as well. And so hopefully we will take you through a journey on this morning's discussion question, which is infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. Infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. And so, as I always like to ask a Queen of Intellect member, Latrice, if you will, when you first heard the question worded that particular way, can you recall your initial thoughts? And since this is you and me, you can go into maybe a second thought as well before we go to our first break. But when you just heard it worded particularly that way, what popped in your mind?
I guess I sort of immediately, unconsciously went back to my lived experiences and sort of posed those questions to myself as the person I am today versus when I got divorced 10 years ago. So that was my first thought. And then the second thought was, this is, I think, a timely topic because it's not always black and white. It's a lot of gray.
Definitely a lot of gray. Yeah, definitely a lot of gray. 50 shades of gray, if you will, right?
Absolutely.
infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. When I thought about it, in my lived experience, you know, in a sense, never having been married, but I have been on the receiving end of someone, in a sense, stepping outside of their marriage, if you will. And so I have, in a sense, that experience. But I also, again, not being married to somebody, but like, what can you say about this? Well, I definitely have been aware of some friend situations, if you will, you know, kind of on all ends of it, people trying to work through it. I've seen people get through it. I've seen people not make it through it and have just been intimately involved. But I'm pretty sure all of us have to a degree because it's always such a tricky thing, right, based on people's values when it comes to the concept of cheating or being disloyal inside of a marriage or even outside of a marriage for that matter. I will say that I have a new way that I look at, quote unquote, infidelity or cheating outside of marriage, if you will, versus when I was young. Myself personally, I've mentioned this on the show before, consider, you know, pretty loyal person and not having been a cheater, even in the quote unquote boyfriend, girlfriend concept. I no longer subscribe to that idea, but again, I'll get into that a little bit later when it comes to dating relationships, if you will. But again, have definitely, you know, in a sense, unfortunately, I will say unfortunately, have been a part of a situation where someone stepped out, if you will. It wasn't discovered. From what I know, still in their situation, if you will. And so I do know it plays out very differently. And another aspect that I think we would have to get into when you say it's a timely discussion is the idea of maybe how we thought of infidelity in the past versus how we think of it now. I think to a degree, we see it or think of it very differently now. I don't know if that's always true, if that makes sense. It's kind of like, and see what having a psychology background, if you will, Latrice, but I think it's quite often that we think our lived current reality is so different quite often in the past, and it's not always the case. And then just any thoughts on that, because to a degree, I think this has probably been an issue as prevalent. I'm just throwing this out as a guest. I'm laughing here, but it's an issue that's probably been as prevalent as it's always been. Whereas now we kind of think of in our times, this is worse than it ever has been. Any thoughts on just how people kind of get caught up in the now and assume that it's worse than it used to be in the past? Any thoughts on that? Or do you think it's different?
So I don't think it's different. I think it's always been an issue, if you will, but it's just if we think about, like, a lot of people like to whimsically think about the old days, the good old days when women did this and women did that. But the caveat that they miss is that women didn't have a lot of rights during those times. They didn't have access to credit. Many of them couldn't find work outside of the home. And so I think a lot of women or a lot of folks during that time period accepted it just because it was the way it was and because there was nowhere else to go, whereas now women have choices. People have choices. And so a person doesn't have to stay involved in a situation where infidelity is a part of the relationship, whereas in the past many perhaps felt that they could not leave because they had no financial means of supporting themselves or things of that nature. So I don't think it's different. I think it's pretty much the same. It's just how society has evolved that perhaps makes it seem as if it's more prevalent. In addition, social media, so much of our personal lives are played out on social media now, whereas in the past, folks kept those kinds of issues close to the chest. As a matter of fact, my grandmother and her sister, whom her father fathered outside of my grandmother's, you know, her parents' marriage, they lived side by side to each other. They loved each other. It was, you know, it was an open secret. But my great grandmother never left her husband, even though she was aware of the infidelity and the children that were born outside of that marriage.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, kind of how we process it may be very different, but the prevalence of it, in a sense, may not be very different. I will say one thing, and we'll hear more about this on the show. I mean, as the show goes along, we're going to go to a break here. But I will say, the desire to look outside due to social media, that psychology is very real and is starting, in a sense, to affect the desire to, if you will, but the prevalence, I kind of would agree with you. And let's get in. I might even pull up a clip that I wasn't planning on playing if I can find it, in reference to just even the history of, kind of to your point, how things were looked at for, when you think of, like you said, when you were kind of just pointing out to women in particular, maybe their situation didn't allow for them to, in a sense, leave like you might see today. So the opportunity to leave may be different, but the prevalence, I'm not sure that it's kind of indifferent when it comes to the human nature of desiring someone outside of your relationship or marriage for that matter. Let's go to this first break and we'll continue this morning's discussion. Infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. We'll be right back. Where all I ask is that you think. Are you looking for a deep, meaningful relationship that eventually leads to marriage, but tired of swiping left on dating apps, tired of being ghosted, and tired of online relationship coaches without relationships themselves? Well, psychotherapist Monique Knight has the recipe to help you find your perfect match, and she brings you the Secret Sauce Relationship Bootcamp. With support from trained couples counselors, marriage and family therapists, this course will empower you to build meaningful relationships. This 8-week bootcamp offers a structured journey for singles to meet and interact as our team of experts guides you through topics like effective communication, conflict management, and intimacy. Registration is now open for the second bootcamp after the first one sold out in less than 2 weeks. The next bootcamp starts on April 1st. Register at comprehensivefamilycare.org/SSB or call 404-585-7533. Again, that is 404-585-7533 for details. Remember, love is not just a matter of chance, it's a skill that can be developed.
Jay-Z sat down with David Letterman and they both opened up about how their marriages survived them cheating on their wives. Take a look.
We don't have emotional cues from when we're young. Our emotional cues, be a man, stand up, don't cry. I have a beautiful wife who was understanding and knew that I'm not the worst of what I've done. And like we did the hard work of going to therapy and, you know, like really, we love each other, right? So we really put in the work. And, you know, for years, I'm proud of the father and the husband that I am today.
So a lot of people feel that infidelity means the end of a marriage. Now, could you work it through?
Absolutely. And I've said that on the show. I said infidelity won't be the end of my marriage, and
right.
I took a lot of heat for that. But I think you have to imagine that your spouse is a better person than that.
Right.
And wants to. If your spouse wants to be a better version of himself or herself,
but
then
why would
work
you
on
say
your
that
marriage.
On television? You know, Mammy is listening to this.
I know.
What about you?
I know. Me?
Yeah.
Ben,
that is true.
Ben better pack his crap and start running.
That's what I would say.
I think it would depend on the situation, because if your partner left for certain reasons they're not willing to work on,
right.
then you can only pull your part of the weight. So I'd be willing to work on it, but I can't say we would survive it. I don't
right.
know.
What about you?
All I know is if the most beautiful woman in the world is getting cheated on, what chance do the rest of us have?
Good point.
That men don't cheat when their wives are the gorgeous. It's a bunch of lies. A man's
totally.
Going to cheat, he's going to cheat.
I know.
But she's would I
Beyonce,
say
man.
The question?
Yeah.
At this point, go ahead, enjoy yourself.
And on that note, we'll be right back.
Oh my God. Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Latrice Ross. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depend, as we hear that cut. I forgot the name of the show. What's the name of that show? Latrice, you know the name of that show?
The View. Is it The
yeah,
View?
Yeah, The View. Yeah, absolutely The View. Talking about when, in a sense, Jay-Z and David Letterman had their discussion about surviving, if you will. They were in a situation where their wives stuck with them despite their infidelity. And so we heard a lot of viewpoints in that small cut that I think delves us into this discussion, because as you said, this thing is very gray. And you heard the, you know, Jay-Z saying, hey, you know, we actually did the work. And, you know, in a sense, Beyonce, I guess, obviously she stayed with him. Now he had to, I don't know if he will use this, if this is the correct word, since he's the one that cheated, but he had to suffer through a whole album about himself that made both, I would say both of them a bunch of money. So that's a little different situation than the average person, you know, that they could capitalize on this.
Right.
You know what I mean?
If you got to suffer through it, you may as well make money.
So that might have helped her, Beyonce's pain with the situation, you know what I mean?
And plus, you know, we're joking about it, about the money aspect, but that was probably her way of making the emotional room to be able to forgive him and go on with her marriage, if you really think about it. Because otherwise, holding that in and not having a way out and just dealing with it and looking at him and, you know, the outcome might have been very different.
No, absolutely. I mean, especially, like I said, to your point, art, right? That's her art. And so to pour it into her art probably was extremely therapeutic, right? Extremely therapeutic. So to your point, it probably actually, if there's no album, they actually might not be together, to your point, right? If she doesn't pour it out, if she does keep it in, if she does, I'm Beyonce, what is the world going to think if they know my, you know what I mean? Like, if she got stuck in that space, then in a sense, they, you know, don't get through it. But if you would, I'd like to highlight the situation you said that you were aware of, because it came up this week when I was promoting. There was some dialogue prior to the show this morning, where one sister pointed out, in a sense, granddaddy's having that side family. And I remember in the thread, I kind of piped in on it. And she made a great point, just saying, hey, back then a lot of granddaddies were doing that. So, because somebody was making a point about how, to your point, how it was much better when people stuck together and it was better for families. I think, when I put the question out or whatever, and she was like, well, I don't know necessarily that it was better considering that a bunch of granddaddies had done that. You know, me being kind of a numbers person, I just kind of highlighted. I was like, well, I don't know if it was a bunch of granddaddies. We know that it happened. I know of those stories. I've heard of them, not necessarily in my family, but definitely aware of it growing up in the South, that kind of stuff did happen. And, and we'll say even inside the family had a situation questionable at a funeral, because that's kind of quite often how it would happen, right? Where you said in your situation, I think it was your grandmother was very aware of the situation, but quite often those situations in the South might be a wayward child showing up at the funeral saying, that's my daddy, you know what I mean? So when I say not in my family, I have kind of seen that situation kind of play out. I don't know if it was determined whether it was real or not, but as a young person, I did, you know, so I will say that witnessed that. So I'm kind of highlighting that in your grandmother's situation, I think I heard you say it was your grandmother or whatever. They in a sense, they did the open secret. So that is definitely a different mindset of how to handle it. Whereas I don't think we're able to do it that way as much today. What do you think about the cultural aspect of why that, in a sense, could be or seemingly would be more acceptable back then than now, which is actually live with the fact to the point, like you said, they were next door neighbors. That's not the only time that situation happened. What do you think is different in the mindset then versus now?
I think it kind of goes back to the women's place in society during those days. You might have married for love, but in a sense, you were still property. You were considered, you know, we're talking about my great-grandmother, so you were considered lower on the social pole, you know, than men. And so there was very little power attached to your being as a person, as a human. And so you just, in a sense, had to suck it up. Whereas nowadays, those standards are not in place any longer, or at least not as openly in place, and so women no longer feel compelled to just suck it up and deal with it. They have options that are, you know, to leave. I can make my own way. You know, back in it wasn't until the late 70s, early 80s that a woman could even purchase a house in her name. So, you know, those factors played into whether a woman would stay or leave, and those factors don't exist anymore today.
No, that makes sense. Let's go into a little more of history of when it even comes to this concept of, let's say, monogamy when it comes to, you know, how that works.
We have to go into physiology, too, because, you know, humans are not innately made to be monogamous. They're innately non-monogamous, not necessarily promiscuous, but our desire is to be intimate with more than one person.
No, absolutely. And, you know, and I know when it comes to, and again, anybody can call in and give us your 3 cents. You can agree, disagree, give us anything that you want to say. Let me give you the number, 646-787-1691. You do have to press 1 if you want to speak on the discussion. But, yeah, you're absolutely right in the sense that a lot of people haven't looked up, if you will, human history, right, just the evolution of humans, if you will. I understand that some people may not subscribe to the science, if you will, but to your point, yes, we are not naturally monogamous, naturally, if you will. Even the concept of monogamy inside of marriage is kind of is actually to a degree a construct, if you will, right? The construct that really, if you really dig into the history, and I'm just going to give a real basic level history, and we'll get to it's a caller that wants to get in, but a basic level history is really monogamy started coming into play as humans figured out, evolved into farming and said, okay, I have this plot of land. I now want to protect it, if you will. And so men in particular are saying, hey, well, now that I have this land that I want to pass down to my progeny, I need to make sure that any child that comes out this woman is mine. And so monogamy literally applied when you use the early laws, if you will, it literally only applied to women. It was never even a concept that the man had to be monogamous. This was even arguments that happened even within religion and inside the church. The church kind of came along and pushed the concept of monogamy to the man as well. But prior to the religious aspects, initially it was, I'm giving this short version, but if I'm going to pass this land to my children, I need to make sure these children are mine. What is it? Mama's baby, daddy's maybe. And so there were actual legal laws just really focused on, I need to make sure this is my, you know, in a sense, my child. And then religion comes along, the women movements takes place and say, hey, it's not right that monogamy only applies to us as women. And it eventually moved even into the legal system to where now a man could suffer consequences if he was, in a sense, proven to be cheating inside of a marriage, and it actually could play into alimony and things of that nature. Again, that's just a short version of some history, but most people don't know that monogamy legally, typically, initially, in most societies apply only to women, and it was a lot of years later that it actually started applying to men. Any quick thoughts on that? Then I'm going to go to a caller, Latrice.
No, that's absolutely how it evolved, and, you know, I think a lot of folks don't know that history, and because they don't know that history, I think that lack of information informs, or lack of information disinforms how they respond or don't respond to infidelity.
No, absolutely. If it's your first time hearing this history, I would absolutely, that's what we like to do on Mental Dialogue, challenge status quo thinking, but even whatever your value system is, consider that actual history in what your thoughts may be, because again, we know this is not a black and white issue. Let's get to one of our callers, 770, last 3185. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. 185, you're live on the air.
Oh.
Yes, did you want to speak or are you listening? You can just, okay, they just wanted to say, they hit the one by accident, I guess. Okay, no problem. Not a problem. So, yeah, 770-185, if you want to call in and just listen, no problem. You just hit the one by accident. For anybody out there that wants to get in on the conversation, the number to get in is 646-787-1691. Again, that's 646-787-1691, and you do have to press 1 if you want to speak. If you just want to listen, do not press the 1. I think that's the mistake they may have just made. Because you hear them go, oh, it was a little surprise. Yeah. They were live on the air. Yeah, messed them up a little bit. Sorry about that, 185. But with that said, again, just getting into 1, that's the legal history. And to your point, again, a lot of people don't even want to accept that reality, but the reality of that, in a sense, we're not naturally monogamous. Just like most animals, if you will, there's like maybe only, at least from what science can tell, if you will, there's only a few animals, mammals, if you will, that mate for life. I think some like a certain, and it's only like a certain species of whales, I think, or a certain species of birds, right? It's not like, it's not all whales or all birds, but there are a few species within the animal kingdom, if you will, that in a sense mate for life. And so the reality is the concept of monogamy and the religion that came in, and this is not me going for being for or against, we're just talking about the reality of it taking place this way. And that concept came into play. I would offer, Latrice, and what are your thoughts on this? I would offer, again, as humans decided to say, I can own this plot of land. I want to make sure this child is mine. I would offer that that is now a psychological evolution that is very real for most men, even subconsciously. I mean, to the extent that they may not, in a sense, own a plot of land, but the construct of this woman is mine, she's mine, I want to make sure that my progeny are mine. I think humans have psychologically evolved, at least the men, due to these consistent values being pushed, that most men feel this way, whether they ever own a plot of land or a home. And well, I will offer that that's a very real thing for us as men, even with that human development. What do you think about that?
I do think that I see that play out all the time, in on social media and friends, on some of the court shows on TV. That is a very real thing. I think it goes to, it's a sense of pride. So let's say your ego is involved at this point. And the ego plays a very real part in how we respond to infidelity or how we respond to paternity issues. So it's all tied up in our ego and pride.
Yeah, I always say that, in my opinion, the way evolution works, if you will, in a sense, we don't go backwards. And so while I was personally, I remember even looking up when I learned that history, in a sense, how like early humans, if you will, relatively to as the different, groups of Homo sapiens, if you will, in trying to populate the earth, early humans were, in a sense, rapidly had sex amongst one another, right? It wasn't a concept of she's mine or he's mine, if you will. It was humans kind of moved in different geographical areas, in a sense, with moving clans, and everybody kind of would take care of the children, if you will, similar to how animals did, right? And so that was early human existence, and that was very surprising, like even for myself, having grown up in the church, to learn that the early evolution. Again, but I'm highlighting this in this sense. And so while 100,000 years ago or 50,000 years ago, groups of humans may have moved, like I just mentioned, the concept of land evolved human psychology to the point where, in a sense, generally humans, if you will, for the most part, in my opinion, won't move back to their natural state. Meaning that, again, we still are not naturally polyamorous, not polygamy, try to get these words straight. Humans are still naturally polyamorous, and that's proven in the sense of how we seem to move before we, quote-unquote, get married, right? We typically, some people don't, but to a degree, there's usually not as much issues with while you're getting to the point of being married. That's the reality of today, right? That we will, in a sense, quite often entertain other people. So that is kind of, in a sense, the truth that our natural state is this, but the evolution of farming is now to the point where I don't think we would, in a sense, ever return, even though the poly concept that is quite often pushed in current times quite often pushes where humans are naturally this way, and they, in my opinion, quite often make a case for why can't we just go back to how humans are natural. I don't think that we ever will, based on I want to pass down something to my progeny. Give me one thought on that, and we're going to go to another break, and I see a couple callers out there as well.
I don't think that we de-evolve when it comes to those types of things. And you may not have that plot of land, but you still, you know, I think folks still feel that when I pass my genes down, you know, when I have a child, that's my legacy. And if that's not my child, then that means you don't have that legacy. So I think our concept of legacy, regardless of whether you have that land or material possessions or not, but legacy drives that mindset. And I don't see that changing anytime soon.
No, absolutely. That's definitely how I see it. Let's go to this break. For the callers out there, if y'all want to jump in, y'all do have to press 1. We'll be right back. Well, all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today. tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
What is that?
Infidelity, men using men in very much infidelity on part of the woman.
Women cheat more than men?
Far more.
Come on.
Far more.
Come on.
Why
do you say women cheat more than men?
Because they're in denial about the infidelity. When they cheat, they don't even label it as that. If a woman starts cheating,
what do they label it as?
They label it as my husband's no longer satisfying me. They won't even say I'm cheating. They'll say my husband isn't satisfied. They find a way to redirect and shift the terminology so that they are void of guilt.
Really?
Absolutely.
So how do we know women are cheating more than men? What is it like? Is public knowledge? Is there surveys? Or are you just hearing this from the people you're coaching?
The people I'm coaching, because firstly, you'll know, it's simple signs that you'll know. Firstly, when the guy, I always say infidelity is a result of men not being masculine and women not being feminine. And what I mean by this is if a woman is cheating, it's because she has a man that accepts unacceptable because he is unwilling to walk away when his boundaries are broken. So what will happen is when women meet that man, with a good woman with good morals, and this, she doesn't want that man. She's like, I don't want a weak man.
She'll leave.
She'll leave. She'll replace him with somebody who has boundaries that suit her morals. But a woman
she won't cheat because she'll have the values of like, this isn't working, it's sad.
No, I don't want
somebody
this week.
But I'm not
going
to cheat while I'm with you.
No desire to cheat.
Yeah.
She's not a sexual being. Yeah, and so she's looking for somebody who can lead a household. But the woman who's planning to come home late all the time and planning to go on a bunch of holidays and planning to keep in touch with her ex and planning to post a bunch of provocative pictures online, he's perfect. He's perfect, 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 because he'll maybe pay for everything. He'll maybe sort the house out, maybe give her the kids. He's perfect. So that agreeable.
And she can keep getting the validation from all these other men.
Whoever
in certain
she
ways.
Wants. And he'll say, oh, babe, I don't really like that bikini picture. And she'll say, stop oppressing me. And that will be the end of the conversation. And that she'll carry on doing what she wants. And he'll say, oh, are you going to come home today? I'll come home when I want. And that's what he'll say, okay. And because she recognizes he doesn't have the willingness to walk away, when a man isn't masculine, his days are numbered. His days and good women filter themselves off away from men that are too agreeable. Now,
welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, along with special guest co-host Latrice Ross. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depends? Shout out to TCH Media for their support as we hear a cut from psychologist Sadia Khan as she breaks down her perspective on the psychology of and also the suggestion that if you will, that women cheat, as she said, way more than men. I think some of her information on the numbers are incorrect, and I'll highlight that very briefly. But I will highlight, I think that she has some of the psychology correct. I definitely want to get Latrice's thoughts on it. As far as, again, me just being a big numbers guy, this is obviously one of the hardest surveys or studies that you could even find out there as far as even finding anything concrete. But Very difficult because people typically are not self-reporting that they're cheating, if you will, but they do have some anonymous surveys out there or whatever. And so even in that cut, I think Saadia kind of contradicts herself in the sense of how she highlights the type of women that don't cheat. They just won't be with the agreeable men, and they'll find, in a sense, a man that's suitable. So, again, so even her pointing out that seemed to be somewhat of a contradiction to what she said. And she's also speaking, she kind of admittedly on the show said, based on who she's coaching. And so us as humans, we always kind of tend to overstate our relative experience. She's a, I assume maybe a relationship psychologist or whatever the case. So absolutely, she sees people if they're coming to her with problems. And so maybe in her practice, she is seeing more women. But to highlight the numbers that are out there, the numbers that the most comprehensive studies I've seen that generally speaking, which usually surprises people, but again, I don't know how accurate they can be, but men in marriages, whatever, about 20% of men cheat and about 15% of women cheat is the most comprehensive thing I've seen out there. So usually, even when I've shared those numbers on other shows, even the fact that they're close to one another typically surprises people, because historically the concept that we've always had is that men cheat way more than women. Again, I don't know how real that is, because to your point, Latrice, we naturally seek others. That applies to men and women to a degree, and then the concept of marriage is a construct that, because of progeny and things of that nature, that is a very much a reality and part of this discussion. Any thoughts? Again, I just kind of wanted to break down where I thought she was incorrect when it comes to numbers, but the psychology, I think she may be on to something, particularly for the women who are choosing to cheat. Your thoughts, Queen?
I don't think she's on to anything, because typically when women cheat, it's because they're missing, it's an emotional void. It's not, I don't think it's because her boo is not masculine enough, or he's too whatever. Okay. I don't see that. I think that, you know, the women that, you know, I've talked to and who I've encountered who have, and even research I've done, because I did a lot of research when I left my marriage, it's because there's something missing from an emotional perspective, not because he's not a barbarian and, you know, falling in line with the rules of patriarchy to keep her in check. I think that, you know, I don't know, she had an accent, so I don't know from a cultural perspective where she's from and the type of culture she grew up in, and you know, that helped shape some of her views. But I don't think from a U.S. perspective that's necessarily the case.
Yeah, I watch her video, so I do think she's not, I'm assuming, based on obviously just looking at how somebody looks. But yeah, to your point, she does have an accent. I don't think she's American. So yeah, maybe, yeah. So some of her as a psychologist is being influenced maybe by, you know, to your point, to wherever she's culturally from. So definitely a strong point. I will say, when I say correct in the psychology, just in this sense that, that is, because again, we're talking about infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. So I do think that she may be correct in the sense of the type of man who would, in a sense, take their cheating wife back, if you will. That there is an aspect of not honoring their own boundaries to the extent. I'm not saying that's the only situation, but I do think there is some aspects of the psychology of the type of man that would, quote-unquote, accept that those type of behaviors that, you know, since some men would not. What about that part of it, just in that sense, again, because we're not just talking about cheating alone, it's the concept of people right. actually staying in a relationship. Again, like I said, just some parts of that I felt like was maybe on to something.
So I think that there may be some who may stay because they are less assertive, but I think there are others who may just be emotionally aware, who just may be more cognitively aware of what goes on, you know, what goes on in relationships, and be more in tune with that. So I just think it, you know, perhaps for the ordinary person, I have a difficult time disagreeing with that. I do know that a lot of men, when for some men that have been victims of infidelity, that's a deal breaker for them. But I do think that sometimes there is an immense sense of love. Perhaps they grew up together. And there's just a desire to maintain the family structure, whereas, you know, sometimes you hear folks say, I want my family to stay together because I didn't have this when I was growing up. So I think that contributing it solely to a man being less assertive, I still can't buy into that.
No, absolutely. That's fair enough. Again, I just want to explore. I'm going to check on 185 again. I hope we're not – 185, just so you know, I'm just going to bring you on the air very briefly. I hope you're trying to jump in. If you're just listening, just you don't have to press the 1. I'm checking on you again, 770-185. Are you trying to just listen or you want to make a point on the show this morning?
I'm going to make a point.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you will, yeah, just kind of tell us where you're calling from and jump in on this thing with us. Glad to have you on this morning.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm calling from Georgia also. I'm over here. I just had a point, man. I think from what I'm seeing, I think in my generation growing up in the, in the 80s and 90s, I think I grew up, it was just women were kind of an expression of ego. You know, our culture at that time and kind of still now relevant, whereas like you would be considered a sucker if you were like in love with a woman. So okay. it became this thing where taking a woman seriously or having a real serious relationship with her was like something that was kind of laughed at in our culture in the beginning. And I think it kind of bleeded into where we would almost use it as a way of masculinity. Like kind of, if you were someone that was known to be having a lot of girls, you were the man, you know, it was like this kind of notch. It was almost replaced with money, almost like, man, you know, yo, Montoya's the man. Yo, look how many girls he got. I heard he was with this girl and that girl and, you know, and all this, that, and the third. I remember even when I first moved out here back in 07, my friends would take me out to, like, all these crazy strip clubs, and it was almost more about not even the strippers. It was about all the girls and all the that were showing attention at the VIP. It was kind of hilarious. I saw that it was being used as, like, a currency. And I think now that we have porn, the access to porn is even easier now. That's even subjected men to like fetishize and even subject women more. And now that, I think that adds on to why more people are cheating, especially men. I mean, I can't really see women cheating so much because I think women are more emotional and they feel like most of the time the women that I know that have cheated on their husbands or boyfriends, it's because of something missing or something that they've felt betrayed on or – you know, but not like men. Men can almost cheat just because of the fact that they have this opportunity that won't get back. You know, not all men, of course, but, you know, so I think that's the problem. At the end of the day, we have to kind of get out of the mindset that these are subjects and that they're people, you know, but I know that's a weird thing to say out loud, but that's kind of the problem is that we've been raised, whether it was the Bible or porn or just our culture, to look at women as just like pets. You know,
well, you're on the right show to say it how you want to say it and speak real. So that's what we do. So I appreciate you speaking it as candidly as you will. Real quick, brother, what are your thoughts in reference to kind of highlighting what you see as the issue? And I think you're on to something and kind of raised in, you know, kind of in the same way as a young man, unfortunately. And I speak to that in my book, Reeducation of the Negro. What are your thoughts in the sense of infidelity happening inside of a marriage? Because as much as you talk about the access is more now to a degree, you put it in the hands of, you know, in a sense, why men do it so much, if you will. What are your thoughts on people sticking through that from your perspective? I don't know if you're married or gotten married yet or anything like that. But
oh, just, yeah, yeah. No, I'm married. I'm married 13 okay. years, got 3 kids. Yeah, man, I think a lot of it, to be honest. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I said congratulations, but go ahead. I'll finish your thought. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Thank you, King. I think a lot of it is you have to be intentional, but I think a lot of us that have cheated on our wives or vice versa, husbands, I think you have to ask yourself, you can go out and get another relationship or you can renew the one you have already. And that's a choice, and that's a very hard choice that for some people because we have ego, all of us. And one worst-kept secret, if you've been around enough, you know that women have more ego than us. I know that it's not, no one ever talks about it that way, but a woman's ego is no joke. And I think a lot of times we as men learn the hard way, you know, in terms of understanding that. And I think sometimes just looking at another woman when you kind of have bad credit in the sense of cheating on her before, man, that's just, it's a thing that kind of perpetuates her idea of like, yo, I can't trust this dude. And then, of course,
it's kind of, I mean, it's a sidebar, but it's related. Just the other day, man, me and my wife were watching that show, Love is Blind, and the dude left the girl at the altar, and it was because his father had used to cheat on his mom and used to bring him on the cheats with him. Stuff his mind.
Wow.
Now he's a grown man. Now
yep.
he's a grown man. Sorry, spoiler alert. I should have said that. Spoiler alert. But he left this beautiful queen at the altar, bro. It was the most humiliating thing I'd ever seen.
I don't watch TV. I think I see people talking about it on social media.
Yo, bro.
But,
it's,
I didn't know what they were talking about.
This woman was quality, bro. Professional, submissive. I don't want to get too far. You got to watch the show. But it broke my heart, man, because it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his fault. He was 27 years old in North Carolina. I know that's where you in South Carolina, but, you know, you in the Carolinas. He's one of your cousins, I guess. You know, one of your people. But my point is
I'll take him on as my cousin. We South Click. They know I'm
clapping.
No, my point is,
it spoke volumes. It spoke volumes because
wow.
I'll even go back further. It reminded me of all the stuff that Tiger Woods went through. And I remember being like, wow, like, because remember the whole thing with Tiger was that his
mm-hmm.
father took him on missions, if you will. That's what we called it.
I didn't know that part of it. No, I didn't know that part of it. No,
so
Tiger
Woods,
that
was why Tiger Woods had issues with commitment is because his father used to take him on missions and he would witness his father cheat on his mom. This
wow.
guy in the same show, Love is Blind, was doing the same thing. And he was married to his mom for 25 years. So it looked beautiful on paper. But it came out why he left her at the aisle was that he couldn't trust himself. He thought he had his father's trait. You know how people always tell you, Montoya.
Wow. Hey,
let me
real quick because I got to do some breaks and I got another caller as well.
My bad, man.
But appreciate you, man. This
show,
is a great call, man. You're giving
God's
us some game. Nah, thank you, man. Appreciate you very much. Yeah, this is your brother giving us some game, Latrice. I want to get you a thought on it. Let me just a quick thought, and then let me go to break, and then we'll get to the next caller.
All right.
Cool. All right, y'all. For 876, we're going to get to you out of the break.
Are you looking for a deep, meaningful relationship that eventually leads to marriage, but tired of swiping left on dating apps, tired of being ghosted, and tired of online relationship coaches without relationships themselves? Well, psychotherapist Monique Knight has the recipe to help you find your perfect match, and she brings you the Secret Sauce Relationship Bootcamp. With support from trained couples counselors, marriage and family therapists, this course will empower you to build meaningful relationships. This 8-week boot camp offers a structured journey for singles to meet and interact as our team of experts guides you through topics like effective communication, conflict management, and intimacy. Registration is now open for the second boot camp after the first one sold out in less than 2 weeks. The next boot camp starts on April 1st. Register at comprehensivefamilycare.org/SSB or call 404-585-7533. Again, that is 404-585-7533 for details. Remember, love is not just a matter of chance. It's a skill that can be developed.
Hey, babe. I am so glad this night is over. And I got us a present. Bam.
Who's Daniel? Daniel. So we're there tonight, right?
Yeah, we went to high school together. And he volunteered at that career day we had. And he did this like music presentation for the kids, so they must have invited him.
Did you fuck him?
What? Why would you ask me that?
Because I am. Did you fuck him?
You fucked that nigga?
I'm so sorry.
What the fuck? Wait, you fucked him.
I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to.
You're not fucking sorry? You just gonna throw that nigga in my face tonight?
No, he was gonna be there. I told him what we did was a mistake.
Oh, so you fucked up our shit for some nigga who's a goddamn mistake? Did you fuck him more than once? Did you fuck him more than once? You fucking lying.
Lord, come on.
Fuck, I thought we were in this, Issa. Fucking... stupid, man!
I'm stupid. Just tell me what I can do, and I will...
Get the fuck out of here.
Lord, please.
Get the fuck out of here. Issa.
Lord.
Issa, get the fuck out of the way.
No.
Issa, get the fuck out of the way.
Just talk to me.
It ain't shit to talk about. Get out the way.
Lord, I'm not moving. I'm not going.
Issa, move.
Just talk to me.
Get the fuck
out of the way.
Lord, I...
Eat some more.
Come on, I hate myself for this.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depend? Special guest co-host, Latrice Ross. If you haven't figured out, we are not a politically incorrect show, as I play a cut from Insecure as Issa Rae plays out a part in which, I guess, her man discovers that she had sex with another man. And that's how those situations kind of play out. It's just an example of, you know, in a sense, how it could happen. I heard a lot within that cut of the dynamic of, you know, I hate myself. I'll do whatever it takes. How could you mess up our thing for this? It's two people wanting to be together, even though they're discovering, I guess, I'm assuming infidelity. I didn't watch the whole show. So definitely some things we can take from the cut. Latrice, jump back in here on any thoughts from our past other caller, as well as the cut, and then we're going to get to 876.
Sure. So, the other caller, I think he told part of the story. Now, this young man did leave this woman, beautiful woman, at the altar, and he did it because he couldn't. There was these two diametrically opposed positions going on within his head and heart. That, you know, am I ready? Because my mom and dad were married for all these years, and he cheated. I think the part that's missing is though that Margarita, his mom, actually confronted the dad, not in a negative, hostile way, but she told him that she needed to apologize. She told him that he needed to apologize to their son for what he had done and free him so that he could truly understand that dad was wrong in doing this. And his response, and she said, you know, I learned some new things. Like, I don't think mom knew that he was taking play on his missions, if you will. And she said that hurt, but she said that, then this was the part that really stuck out to me, that although we both came from broken families, doesn't mean that we have to pass on that brokenness to our kids. And that speaks volumes, because it was at one of the live experiences where you mentioned a song by someone who said that they'd been to funerals but had never gone to a wedding, had never been to a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It speaks to the dysfunctional relationships that exist. When I was married, I was going to my hometown to plan my mom's funeral. My uncle, her brother, tried to get my then husband to cheat with someone in my hometown. My uncle, my biological uncle, tried to get my husband, who this was his first time meeting this man.
Wow.
But tried to convince him to cheat with one of the local girls while he was there.
Because that's just what men did back then, right? That's just what men did, huh? That was the concept,
so
that was the thought process.
Absolutely. So the person said that was a concept for Gen X. It's not just Gen X. It goes back generations, this belief that the more notches you have on your belt, the more of a man that makes you. And perhaps they didn't. My ex-husband actually went on missions with his granddad when he was cheating on his wife. He mentioned once that he had to stay outside in the car in the hot sun in July while his granddad went in the house for over 2 hours with this woman. So that's probably more common than we like to talk about.
Right. Nah, these are strong conversations. Thank you, 185, for that amazing 3 cents. Let's go to 619, last 3876. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion. We bring you live right now. You're live on the air. Go ahead.
What up, L&M? This is Mark calling from Austin.
What's up, Mark?
What's going on? Latrice, you just stole some of my thunder, so I'm going to just...
That's what I'm here for, dude. You know that.
I'm going to reiterate a little bit and then add on a little bit, too. And this also has to do with the other caller said. So a part of what... I can't speak on too much of like what women are taught so much, but a part of what men are taught, even from early on, which you all have captured and what you are saying, is that men are really taught to conquer women from an early age. And so we hope that over time, as we grow, we can disseminate which parts of these things that we should unlearn versus which ones we should take with us, and then what that process of unlearning looks like as we start to move into what we agree to be in a monogamous relationship most of the time. And so the other thing is we're taught not only to conquer women, but we also pedestalize them. So even though we cheat, we have the idea in our mind that women aren't supposed to cheat. Women are supposed to uphold the moral fabric of our society. So that's where you see the underreported data on women cheating. But now, if you out here in these streets, you realize that a lot of women are moving like men, and a lot of men and women are kind of being raised the same in that regard. But I still can't speak to a lot of the ways, the ideologies that women are given in terms of how they approach men in relationships, even though we hear so often about independence and not needing a man. I think that that does something also to the psyche of monogamy as well. And then I'll just go on to say, we think that because we use the same titles when we address that, we have the same understanding about them. And I think what people do is say, hey, we're in a monogamous relationship, or we're in a relationship that implies monogamy. And we don't go further to explore. Sometimes we don't even have the discernment to go further to explore what that means when we say we together and we exclusive. And a lot of the times our own ignorance is blissful to us. And so I know a lot of people who will not ask questions out of fear of knowing, as opposed to other people who will try to do their Inspector Gadget routine to find out and still not make any actionable steps about that. The last thing I'll say is, it seems that I feel some way about this, right? You go, you do your vows. It seems that the cardinal sin is cheating, right? It seems that we could stay with people who abuse, gamble, have issues around sexual impropriety in other ways. So people will stay with known child molesters and all of those things. But it seems that society agrees that it's okay to leave somebody that cheats on you. And I'm always intrigued by that one thing as opposed to the other things. And people bring in different ways of going about that. Like they bring in different justifications, like, oh, this person is putting my sexual health at risk. You're bringing in other children, which I understand. But I would think that things like abuse and staying with somebody who is abusive, or staying with somebody who is financially driving your family into the ground, wouldn't be as justified in terms of upholding your vows as cheating.
Let me throw this out real quick, sir. I got a couple of minutes. I want to get some thoughts. I want to hear with Patrice as well. So I definitely, in a sense, just love how you're exploring that concept, like you said, where cheating is, in a sense, considered the cardinal sin. I would throw out that I think what you're saying, in my opinion, was more applicable, more so in the past, whereas now the abuse and, you know, even financially driving into the ground, I think we find people, in a sense, leave for all those reasons. I think some of what Latrice talked about, where, in a sense, let's say, if we're going to put in the concept that women, you know, have the option to leave now, it's just, I would say that it's that option that makes that one being, okay, that's the ultimate betrayal. I'm just throwing out my concept of it, that it becomes ultimate betrayal and I now have the option to leave. I would say staying for all those other reasons usually would have still related to not being able to leave in the past, because I think people leave for all those reasons right now. That's my thoughts on it. We got about a minute before break. Give a thought on that as well, Latrice.
Okay, so I wanted to actually say something. You mentioned about women, and some women out here nowadays are kind of raised the same as men. I don't think necessarily that they're raised the same as men, but I have a friend who was abused as a child, and she doesn't have the same type of emotional response to relationships that I do as a result of that abuse. She actually reacts more like a man who's not ready for commitment in relationships. Like, she can sleep with a dude and say, okay, now I'm done. Can you leave? But it relates to that abuse as a child. And 1 in 4 girls are abused as children. And so when you think about that number and how we see women behave in relationships now, somehow I believe that that's factoring into how women are moving with regard to relationships nowadays.
Now, that makes sense. And to be fair to what Mark said, I think he was saying he doesn't know what women are being raised with, but he was just understand. Well, he probably understood it as well, but he was just kind of saying,
yeah.
But they seem to be moving the same, and he was kind of wondering. And I'm curious, too, what is a psychologist, but you just made up a major point. A lot of times it's an amount of abuse that's playing a role in like you said, 25% of the sisters, which is a lot, right? That are mm-hmm. having that affect their psychology, and it's playing a role in how they're moving today. So great point. Mm-hmm. Great call, Mark, if you will. Let's go to this break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, where all I ask is that you think.
Hey, where did you get that hat and t-shirt? I like that.
Oh, I got this at moneymotivation.com. It's fresh, right?
Yes, and I love the message on it, too. You are the hustle, huh?
That's what the shirt says. I am the hustle. They embody the entrepreneurial spirit, and what I like the most, it's more than a brand. It's a lifestyle for those who want to put in the work and expect to have the finer things in life. I also follow them on Instagram. Check this post out.
If you believe money is the root of all evil, you're using it wrong?
Or how about this one? Excuses made $0 an hour.
I like those. What's their IG?
At moneymotivation.co.
But do they have any ladies gear?
Yes, you're going to love the clothing line they got for the ladies. Matter of fact, pull up their website, moneymotivation.com, and I'm going to get you a few things so we can both look like money. Everywhere I go, go, and everywhere I be, I don't even talk, they still know it's me. Because I look like money, smell like money, talk like money, even walk like money.
When women get cheated on, again, it's a lack of femininity. And what I mean by that is, honestly, what I noticed with married men that cheat, it's not that they love somebody else so much or they found someone more beautiful. They simply have a wife that is no longer catering to their needs in any way, shape, or form. So,
what type of needs? Their sexual needs, their intimacy needs, their supportive needs?
All kinds of needs. So what I mean by that, it could be as simple as there's a coffee ready because you're going to work. Or it could be as deep as I haven't slept with you in 6 months. It's his needs no longer matter, and it's really difficult. I understand when you have kids and stuff like that, it becomes difficult.
Is it when he feels his needs don't matter, or he's communicating what he wants and she's not willing to provide that?
He's saying it.
He's saying it, and she's just like, I don't have time for this, or she's busy, or whatever.
He's often saying
flags,
yeah.
But there's an amount where I feel like it's almost a necessity mm-hmm. for a man to have a greater understanding of different women.
Yeah.
And even just how to be in the bedroom.
Well, I was talking about this quite recently, and I always say it's bad for both, but worse for men, and I'll tell you why.
Worse for men,
I'll tell you why. Because this is what happens. When you have a high body count, man or woman, you have to drop your standards in order to have a high body count, either in the women that you're investing in or the treatment you're getting.
I think it depends who you are.
It depends who you are, but the reality is, even if you're Leonardo DiCaprio or whatever it is, you have to choose a woman who's very promiscuous for her to be okay with one night stands. Mm. So what's happening is you're now getting used to women who are calling their boyfriend saying, babe, I'll be home in 10 minutes while she's in your bed. You're getting used to women who are like sleeping with you and then going off to sleep with your friend the next day. You are getting used to women who don't even reply and don't care if you have like see them again or not.
Mm.
You are getting used to such low quality women that when you meet a girl who's also low quality, but she's slightly above the usual promiscuous hoe that you're used to, you start glorifying her and thinking she's amazing
mm-hmm.
because your comparison level has dropped so low. You are so used to that woman that has nude pictures online, that or the one that's cheating on her boyfriend to sleep with you, or the one that is just sleeping with you and your friends. You're so used to such a low level of woman, you no longer have the skills and tools required to speak, to communicate, or be with a wholesome, good mm-hmm. woman that can maintain a marriage. You are now going to attract another broken person because your standards have dropped. And the other thing that I would say is when you sleep around, there is no way you can sleep around with so many people and not feel some level of shame and guilt because there's always that girl.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. Special guest co-host Latrice Ross. So I play a couple of different cuts from, again, psychologist Sadia Khan. Actually, her last name's Khan. I just remembered that. So absolutely speaking to maybe in a sense some of the cultural bias. But a lot of things said in there. I would throw out on the first cut, if you will, Latrice, that I definitely can see the idea of that bear, in a sense, within a marriage, his needs are not getting met, if you will, in a small way. And sometimes that can lead him, if you will, to seek outside of himself. I would say the second cut more relates to what our two previous callers talked about, just how, in a sense, men being, you know, in a sense, raised in a culture where we're, quote unquote, taught to sow our wild oats. And so in that sense, that man wouldn't be the example that she first talked about. That man is going to, quote, struggle to figure out how to do a long-term situation because the psychology of himself within his brain is in a sense, been to discard women, if you will. And so even in finding the woman that, quote, unquote, he has now made his wife, that psychology is still something, in a sense, he has to fight against. So it's almost two ends of the spectrum that I was attempted to highlight in both of those cuts. But again, we're ultimately talking about the idea of being in a marriage and staying in it. But again, we're talking about what they're up against and how it can happen to where now they're risking their marriage with infidelity. Any thoughts on either of those cuts, Queen?
The relationship therapist, I can see how the perspective that she brought up in this point, they may have a bearing on how men view women. But I don't think it's – I guess my issues with her is it's just – and I'm looking at her background right now, and her background, while she has a background in psychology, it's more education and developmental psychology.
Okay.
Not necessarily – dealing with adults in complex relationships. So I think she boils it down to these simple things based on being from Pakistan and their views on women and relationships impacts how she approaches her relationship therapy, which is not in alignment with my belief system. As far as the other clip that you played, and I haven't watched Insecure at all. I've been meaning to, but just haven't gotten around to it. But it's like you can hear that play out in bedrooms or households all the time. Like that was just so – like I remember the reverse being played out, not using those same words, but similar situation in my household when I was confronting my ex. When I finally got fed up, it was like, okay, so you're willing to just, and it wasn't even infidelity at that time. It was just the culmination of all of the infidelity and everything else, and I was just exhausted. And he refused to go to counseling, and I was like, so you want to throw away 25 years of marriage? And I'm kind of glad he did.
Well, I would take, you said the refusal, right, was kind of the ultimate thing, right? You threw that out there. And so I would take you saying glad he did from the standpoint of at that point there was no willingness on his part, if you will, to even work on it. And like I said, you were the one that were throwing out, we're going to throw away 25, because you're saying this is what's needed, which is if you were going to even consider staying, you needed to know that in your situation that he was willing to work on it. So when we have this conversation, infidelity, stay, leave, or depends, it just got to where you, in a sense, threw out an ultimatum that he wasn't willing to cross. And so at that point, you're saying, yeah, I'm glad to be out of a situation where, you know, my spouse does not want to work on this thing that is continuing, if you will, to be an issue. So I can understand how you would say.
I'm sorry.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding. Go ahead.
Yeah,
okay, maybe I'm misunderstanding.
This is actually a different show, but it just shows how sometimes we're mismatched in relationships and we try to hold on. You try to keep making that square peg fit in the circular hole. And, out of it, you can see that. But while you're in the thick of it, you can't. So I think, that's a different show about how we choose to be in relationships and who we choose to be in relationships with and why. But, you know, like I said, it was a culmination. It was just being fed up. He didn't go to therapy. And even then when I suggested it, it was more because I wanted a therapist to be able to tell him we just don't work. I had that conversation. You know, I saw in my head, you know, I told you I wouldn't get triggered based on my lived experiences, but when that clip was playing, I actually went back to conversations that I'd had with mine. And even when he began to project and gaslight me, I would be out with friends and he would confront me pretty much the same way that man confronted that character, saying that I had cheated. Now, in my instance, I had not. And in a few instances, I wanted to make him think that I had.
Wow. And so, yeah. So I got you. So I'm following now. I'm just bringing it into the context of, if you will, the show from this standpoint, because we mm-hmm. have to move into the idea of, does this break up our marriage? You know what I mean? Like, we got to move the conversation. So we've kind of talked about, if you will, the first hour, even the clips I'm playing, like how it may play out, at least the Issa Rae cut, which is kind of a, you know, how that confrontation could actually happen, right? That really, quite often, that's how those situations do happen. But even in that clip, you could hear two people that are mostly upset because they're wanting to be together. That's usually why you're so upset, right? You're upset because speaking to the psychology of the first caller, you know, being a young man, I even play out that, you know, we're in times, and I think here's some areas where I do think Sadia is correct, if you will, even when she's highlighting, because I never thought about just like the concept of to be sleeping around, as he suggested, which again is something that has always been pushed for us as men quite often inside the culture, but to be sleeping around, I think, again, she opened my eyes to this perspective, the idea of, quote-unquote, the quality of women, you know, whatever that word means, of who you're willing, in a sense, to sleep around with, because something that I have thought, and I know men typically will, we do pedestalize, to Mark's point, he pointed out, that, in a sense, the woman that we want to be our wives, if you will. So we may have this history of saying, all right, these are, in a sense, quote-unquote, the type of women I've slept with, but you don't want that to be, in a sense, who your wife is. And so I'm just kind of offering, in a sense, there's some, in my opinion, some accuracy in being open to the idea of, how does this lifestyle risk me inside of my own marriage? And so inside of my own marriage, I see sex as one thing, and it could play a role in how some men are willing to step out because their history has been such. And we also have a value system in which historically, like we talked about earlier in the show, where it was quote unquote deemed okay. And so with, in a sense, men coming with that background, we now have a situation where, to Mark's point, the cardinal sin of cheating could break up the whole situation. And the reality is, one, that isn't always best for the family. And so that's one thing that is, if you will, a big difference in stay, leave, or depends. Culturally, how we saw family in the past versus how we see it now. I think that is a huge difference in whether people will stay, leave, or depends. Of course, it doesn't encompass every situation, but it is a concept that I think we have to discuss. Your thoughts, if you feel like I've put that in any type of context, to just give me a thought on that.
I do agree with that aspect of it, that, you know, much like I pretty much agree with most of what Mark had to say, because that does, you know, how people move in the world while they're single, and those interactions definitely has an impact on the choices that they make when they are ready to settle down and get married. And it brings me back to the Love is Blind, where, you know, dude said no at the last minute, although the night before he assured her that he would say yes. But when he got there and got ready to make that decision, he couldn't, which I think is good. It was a good decision for him to make at that time, because he still has some more work to do. But, you know, I think when it comes down to staying or leaving or you know, what is that final straw, I think that, you know, for some people, based on how they were raised, I think a lot of women were raised to think that, you know, to believe that they are the prize. And I just think that we can't devalue male or females, that you're both worthy of mutual respect and understanding in a relationship. So I think how we were raised, how our the interaction of a male father figure in our lives also has an impact. So I think that you can't silo that to just interactions, sexual interactions as an adult, but just how we were raised, the interactions of our parents, whether we had a male father figure in our lives or not, whether we had a female mother figure in our lives or not, all of those things factor into whether we choose to stay or go. And I stayed as long as I did, you know, when I think about it, and even as I went through therapy, because I didn't want a broken family like I grew up in. And so because I didn't want that to happen to me, I stayed longer than perhaps if I had not have held that belief, I likely would have not stayed as long.
Yeah, I would like to discuss when we come back, and I got a caller that wants to jump in. Just is there worth in that? Because look, where we're at now, there may be some worth in that, and I don't think we see it as such. So I definitely want to dig into that when we get back. All I ask is that you think. We'll be right back.
Get off the internet and get intellectual in real life at the smartest event in the city, the Mental Dialogue Live Experience, every third Friday of the month at Urban Grind Coffee Shop. Come dialogue on issues of race, sex, business and culture, and meet professionals and creators all in one place. Dialogue and connect is what we do best. The Mental Dialogue Live Experience is smart, fun, and organic networking on another level. Who can we connect you to help you progress in your life? For more info and updates, please visit mentaldialogue.com. We are much better with you than we are without you.
Talking about the juxtaposition between happiness and honor, even though I don't think they're mutually exclusive personally, but if there's a situation, let's say, where someone is truly in love with someone else and they love them for many years and decades, they have a whole history together, and then one of the people in this grouping start falling in love with someone else. So it's not that there's less love for the original partner. How analytically and emotionally do you take care of a situation like that when you feel that you want to stay honorable and be happy?
Okay, so the first thing I would say is the devil's always in the details, right? So one of the things that I'm not happy about with much modern moral theorizing is that it takes a story like that, you know, and then tries to extract out a general moral principle. And often that's impossible because the particulars of the situation are very important. But having said that, all right, so let me think about that for a minute. I'm not sure that it's possible to be honorable in a situation like that, because I think that you've acted out the violation already. And having acted out the violation, to confess it might be the right thing to do, although perhaps not. You know, because it isn't obvious to me that if you betray someone, then you get to have the right to tell them about it. I know you're not. I understand that. I understand. My observation has been that if there's a tight relationship and if one party is betrayed by the other in that manner, that it's almost always irreconcilable. It breaks it. And, you know, I've helped people try to struggle through that, but on both sides of it, the person who was betrayed and the person who did the betrayal. I've seen people grow up and not do it again, and this was in situations where their partner didn't know. And in a couple of those situations, it seemed to me that it might have even been a necessary learning experience for the person who did it. You know, it helped them develop. That doesn't mean I'm justifying it, but life is complicated. But I think that society works better, all things considered, when you make a promise and you stick to it. And one of the things I learned from reading Jung, which I really liked, was, you know, he believed that, and he had his affairs too, so you might think about it as somewhat hypocritical, but I think that people can make mistakes without having what they think necessarily be wrong. You know, he said that there are things in a marriage that you can't have unless you're all in. And I believe that. I believe that. And so if there's a back door open, or a back door opens, then I think that there's something about the relationship that is lacking at least. And I think you pay a big price for that. So, I mean, it depends on whether you regard a marriage as a practical arrangement or a spiritual arrangement. Now, really, it's both, you know, and both are important. But if it's a spiritual arrangement or a psychological arrangement above all, then I do think that you don't get the transformation without being all in. And if you violate it, then even if you can work it out with your partner, there's something that you will never get as a couple.
Welcome back to the Mr. Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. Special guest co-host Latrice Ross as we hear. Kind of nice long cut from Jordan Peterson, but I wanted to play it all out because we like to get again into the psychology. And I find personally, kind of what I was saying prior to the break, I find value in what he's speaking to in that cut. And the value is, as he mentioned, no back door to walk out of. And that's, you're married, you're tied, and he highlights how difficult it is to survive betrayal, if that is the cardinal sin that is, quote unquote, having you considering leaving and walking out that back door. And he just highlights the spiritual, practical, and psychological concept of, if you go into it with no back door, that has, in a sense, maintained, I would say, our human existence from the concept of evolving into the, you know, the stuff we talked about earlier in the show, the evolution of, all right, I have something to pass down to my progeny, and so there is value in there being no back door. And so what I would highlight in current times, we highlight, to your point, Latrice, your situation is you personally find value. It was a better situation, in a sense, for you to move on. And I find that in today's time, we kind of, in a sense, look at it from an individual basis. And I'm not saying there are not cases in which you shouldn't step, you shouldn't leave. I'm not saying that. However, we're not able to recognize the situations that survived, if you will, a cheating situation, since that's what we're talking about today, and the value that has been able to get created inside of those families because those families stayed together. And we're talking about generation after generation. And again, it's not me justifying it or warning it. It's just, the concept of where we go out the back door very easily, if you will, because of betrayal. And Peterson points out, I don't know if this situation will ever be the same. You should keep a promise. He's saying you should not cheat. However, in the event that that's the issue, if you're all in on this marriage thing, there's a greater benefit. Any thoughts on, at least that's kind of how I'm hearing that cut, and then we're going to go to the caller.
Yeah, so I'm hearing that the same way, and I don't necessarily agree with that. And here's why. We're siloing this concept of marriage from the issues that might one partner being cheating on the other. and their arguments, if there are children involved, those arguments are going to have a negative impact on the children's emotional development. We, you know, when the caller mentioned the young man from Love is Blind, that's a direct result of parents staying together, thinking they were holding it together for the sake of the kids. And now you got a jacked up young man who doesn't understand the concept or can't come to grips with marriage being spiritual and, you know, can I do this because my dad didn't do it? So I think that we can't, you know, what Jordan Peterson did, he siloed marriage and the concept of, you know, the spiritual aspect and the psychological and emotional. He siloed it from the impact of infidelity in a marriage or in a relationship.
So let me throw this out. Let me jump in real quick, like using the Love is Blind. So I think the full context of even what you said is, in a sense, none of this can be in the silo because you also have the concept of how people are impacted when the people part. So you're saying, hey, they stayed together and that young man decided not to make a decision based on, like, you know, unfortunately going on missions with his own father, obviously super damaging. You know, I've in a sense, witnessed similar, but it wasn't a marriage situation or whatever. And so I'm just saying that young man being jacked up based on that situation still can play out very bad in the sense about jacked up with them splitting as well. So I'm just saying we can't just say we know it's they stayed together is the issue, is why he had the issue. You see what I'm saying? Like, you understand what I'm kind of
right.
challenging?
So I understand what you're saying too. And it matters whether you can go, whether you can come to grips with what's happened and moved on and move on in a healthy way. And sometimes it's really difficult to move forward in a healthy way from infidelity. And if you can't move on in a healthy way, then I think, you know, while there are psychological and emotional impacts to leaving the determination, which is more harmful, which is going to play out more harmful to both the people involved as well as any children that might be collateral damage.
Fair enough. I got some thoughts on that as well, but let me go to 661-362. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your 3 cents on this morning's discussion.
Okay, some great discussions.
362, you're live on the air. Are you wanting to talk still?
Can you guys hear me okay? Can you hear me?
Yes. Oh, okay, we can hear you now. Go ahead. It's a little background.
I'm sorry. I'm at the gym, you guys. I'm at the gym right now. I'm so sorry, but I just wanted to give a question. Great discussion. My question is, let's say if you're the person who was betrayed, does a piece of you have to die to find peace in betrayal? And what kind of factors should one consider in getting closer back to either a healthy union or a healthy acceptance of the disruption of the union?
So to make sure I understood the question, you're saying you're the person who betrayed the other? Is that what you started out with? To make sure I heard you right? Or you got betrayed?
You were the person.
Which one were you?
Yes, the second one. And not me. This is just a question that I kind of came up with after hearing the clip.
Okay, Teresa, I'll let you take a shot at that. I think if I understood it correctly,
okay.
You got some background noise, so it was a little tough to hear.
So what I heard is that what about the person that's betrayed? Does a piece of them have to die in order to move on? And how can you move on in a healthy way? I'm thinking that's what I heard.
Yep, that sounds exactly right. Go ahead, Queen.
Okay. So I don't think that a piece of you has to die necessarily or a piece of that person has to die. I think that person will evolve as a result of that lived experience. Every experience that we have in life causes us to adjust and adapt to that situation. So whether an emotional piece of you dies, which might cause you to not be able to engage in healthy relationships moving forward. We see a lot of that play out with insecurities in relationships.
And whether you can move on in a healthy manner, I think it's something that, particularly in our community, we shun. I see it not being shunned so much with the younger generation, but you reach out and you get therapy. I was married for 25 years. I spent 3 years in weekly therapy after that because I wanted to ensure that I was able to move forward in a healthy manner and that I wouldn't be insecure in my next relationship. And more importantly, I wouldn't damage someone else as I move forward to be in relationships. So I think that you absolutely can move forward without a piece of you dying, but you have to be willing to take the necessary steps to do that so that you can evolve, so that you can come through that situation emotionally healthy and ready to be involved, engaged either in that relationship again or in another different healthy relationship.
Makes a lot of sense. We're up against another break. For the other callers out there, if you want to get in, you do have to press 1. We'll be right back. But all I ask is that you think.
What happens when your customers call your business and you're too busy to answer or call them back in a timely manner? You lose that business. Shockingly, 61% of inbound calls go unanswered. But fear not, tchmedia.ai is here to change the game. We specialize in capturing, nurturing, and converting your prospects into loyal customers. With our state-of-the-art communication solutions, no interaction will be left behind. When you miss a call, we've got you covered with automatic, engaging texts that keep your prospects connected and eager to choose you over your competitors. Don't let potential customers slip away. Make the smart choice with tchmedia.ai and skyrocket your conversions today.
tchmedia.ai is here to change the game.
He cheated on you with my friend.
How could you stay with him?
I chose to stay with him for all the things that he had done right and not to leave him for the one thing that he had done wrong. Chose to forgive.
You don't?
No.
You don't ever worry about whether or not your man has got other women? No?
Not if he's doing what he's supposed to do at home.
Oh, okay. All right.
Why would I worry?
Because I would think you would want him to yourself. You don't want to have to share no man with another woman.
Well, how would you ever know the difference?
Well, I don't know.
Well, if you look for the difference, you'd probably find it. But you just waste a lot of your time that you could be doing something you like to do, trying to follow some man.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So.
You got the best advice. You're so smart.
If he got somebody else, and what if I found out, then what am I going to do?
Leave.
And go where?
I don't know.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. Special guest co-host Latrice Ross, as we hear a couple of cuts from some older women. The first one was just highlighting that she stayed because she chose to look at all that her husband had done right versus the quote-unquote one thing he had done wrong, and she chose to forgive. Then you heard another older woman highlighting that as long as he's doing what he need to do at home, one, I ain't finna be trying to figure out where he at, where he going. And in a sense, if I find out, again, this man is doing what I guess she feels is right at home. And that is definitely part of the value system to a degree of the past. And not saying the value system that in itself is enough, but it quite often is related to the family I want to have thereafter. And it's not, and again, I'm just having these thoughts to explore conceptually how that can play out. Because I think, unfortunately, the reality to being quick to leave doesn't guarantee the best future for your progeny. And again, I'm not saying staying together no matter what, but I'm saying that concept existed. And quite often you have gotten like the first lady said, I chose to forgive because I chose to look at a lot of things that were done right. And I think we're quicker today to not consider that. And we don't have a value system of how does this hurt my family going thereafter. Where I absolutely agree with you, Latrice, is, you know, to the caller's point of if you've been betrayed and, you know, what do I have to do to stay? If you absolutely cannot get over in a way that you can create a healthy relationship thereafter, then where you and I absolutely agree is you're going to create an unhealthy dynamic that will not benefit your family. What I'm bringing these other concepts is it's like when you have that value system, you may be prone to figure out how to create a healthy situation versus now we're quick to leave. I hope I'm making sense in how I'm distinguishing some of what I am talking about. Go ahead, Queen. Any thoughts?
Yeah. So I don't think that you're going to be able to navigate that in a healthy way without some professional help. Just
that's
because
fair.
Of the complex emotions mm-hmm. involved. And as you know, so there's that. And it was something, the part about looking at, you know, that's the one thing he's done in an otherwise great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And you both are aware that it was a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And you both are committed to making it better, making
mm-hmm.
it different going forward. Then absolutely do what
right.
you need to do to make it work and move forward in a healthy manner. But if you cannot forgive, and if it keeps, if 5 years
mm-hmm.
from that incident, you're still saying, remember when,
mm-hmm.
that's
yeah.
not healthy.
No,
and
I
you
agree with
absolutely
that 100%.
Need to escape that relationship for your sanity, the other person's sanity, and if there are any children involved. I think the key to moving forward in a relationship is that both have to be honest, open, and transparent about what happened and what led up to it happening. Because oftentimes you often hear folks say that no one's to blame but the person who cheated. But typically there are some underlying issues
mm-hmm.
that might exist. Because I have some friends and I'm like, I see why your husband cheated on you. Or I see why your wife cheated on you. Because they are just from an emotional intelligence
mm-hmm.
perspective, they have zero.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to own our part in that. And I know for a lot of women, when I say that, that's triggering for them, saying that there's not ever a reason to cheat. But from an emotional perspective, from a psychological perspective, perhaps
mm-hmm.
there are some reasons why someone makes an unfortunate decision to step outside of their relationship instead of handling it without involving a third party.
Now, it makes a lot of sense. Now, let's jump this into the conversation because I briefly talked about it in the first hour. The concept of cheating and dating. I'm always highlighting on the show that dating is relatively a new concept in the concept of human existence, if you will. So we're in the dating era, and even some of what we talked about in the first hour, how, in a sense, men are taught to sow their wild oats and that type of thing. And so conceptually, as at least in Western society, as we've chosen to start marrying later in life, like right, whereas you know, granny and great grandparents and all this type of thing were marrying in their teens quite often, or early 20s at the latest. Now the average marriage age is 27 and 26 respectively for men and women in the U.S., if you will. So that's much later than past generations. So I'm just kind of bringing in a whole lot of factors, and so now we date. And you have boyfriends and have girlfriends, and you have this concept of being cheated upon because you made a commitment to your boyfriend, you made a commitment to your girlfriend. And I remember getting exposed to this marriage group about 5 to 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, and they laughed at the concept that you could even be committed or quote-unquote faithful in a boyfriend-girlfriend situation. And they exposed me to the idea, which makes sense to me now, that are single until you're married, which means you have to explore you have the ability to explore anyone to decide who you may want to marry. Now they definitely didn't mean explore and didn't mean sleeping around with everybody that you date. So just be clear. But it was just that concept, how they, in a sense, almost laughed at me because I was someone who chose to be, quote unquote, faithful to pretty much every girlfriend in my life except one. And they thought that was laughable. And I now agree with that. So we got to bring that concept into this conversation. Your thoughts about that, Queen?
So I think that just depends on how you, how one views marriage and commitment. And I, my challenge to that is when folks say that they're single till married, well, if you're engaged, you're still not married, but you've committed, you pledged that you want to marry this person. And so are you going to be sleeping with other folks during that phase? And even if you're in a committed relationship where you say, we are in a committed relationship with each other, I believe that if those are the parameters that you set for your relationship, then those are the parameters that you should hold true to. So I'm not one that believes that buys into that belief system of until I'm married, I'm single. I just don't buy into it. If you're in a committed relationship and you make that verbal commitment to someone, because not everybody wants to get married. Not everybody can get married. Not everybody has a desire to. So if you are in a committed relationship and you say that I'm going to be true to you, I'm not going to sleep with anyone else, I'm not going to have any emotional entanglements with anyone else, then that's your word. You should stand by it.
Well, we got Ashley, one of our other Queens of Intellect members, wanting to jump in. What you got for us, Queen? Thanks for getting in on this morning. Go ahead, Queen.
Yeah, I guess my question to that, because I've heard it and I understand it, is like if the dating stage is when you're gathering data, like how, how are you supposed to know, not necessarily that a person is going to be faithful because you don't know that, but what then do you gather in terms of their fealty to you or their loyalty to you if that is how they believe or navigate through relationships that I am single until married?
Now, that's a great question, and I would highly encourage you to listen to a show we did called Why I Would Teach My Daughter to Never Have a Boyfriend, and we really got deep into what that looks like. Within that marriage group, they kind of brought back the concept of courting. Courting versus dating are very different based on how I understand it now. I didn't prior to that because, again, I come from the boyfriend-girlfriend era, but I felt like I learned good lessons in how to, in a sense, extract that data within the courting situation. So I would definitely recommend checking that out. I don't want to, in a sense, bastardize the information at this moment because, again, I learned it from someone else. But courting definitely is a situation where you are inquiring and trying to get the information in a sense that you need. And I will highlight that if you're, as a woman, if you are even dealing with a man who, quote unquote, understands how to court, because most of us don't, so I do understand that that's not a reality.
Yeah.
But if you are fortunate enough to be dealing with a man who understands it, then quite often that man is only doing it because he values marriage in a way in which the loyalty part is part of it. Like he's choosing to court you because he also understands what people are doing in extracting that data to figure out can you two be committed. So it does kind of require someone else who understands that concept. It won't work if only one of you is courting and one of you dating. So I can say that from a practical standpoint, Ashley. But does that make sense? It's almost like finding someone who values marriage in the same way, and so you can extract that data even though you quote unquote wasn't boyfriend and girlfriend. That's the best I can give you in the moment. We got another call.
Yeah.
Thank you. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, let me give you a look at a response. I'm gonna go to the other call.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, you know, like I feel like it kind of comes across that concept that people are talking about, like, you know, you have to be a wife before you become a wife. You have to be a husband before you become a husband. And so, you know, it was interesting. That's all. But thank you.
Nah, it makes sense. And speaking of that real quick, and some people still take that too far, like in a sense, becoming what you need to be a husband, becoming what you need to do to become a wife. And again, this is just me kind of relaying information that I learned. You know, it doesn't also necessarily include doing everything prior to being married. And if you don't understand that concept,
absolutely,
that information can be bastardized and misused as well. But nah, absolutely. Great question. Matter of fact, let me go to break. and we'll get to the caller after this next break. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, but all I ask is that you think.
Are you intimidated by money? Well, this is a question most people never think to ask themselves. But when forced to think about it, many people realize they have unrecognized fears that truly affect how they deal with money. If you want to learn more about money and the fears that keep you from prosperity, join us for Making Money Matter Mondays, where money meets mental health with personal finance coach Ashley Thomas and psychotherapist Dr. Katrina Pitt. Every second Monday of the month, find out if you're intimidated by money and what to do about it. To receive a link to this free Zoom event, please DM the Making Money Matter or the Mental Dialogue Instagram pages or contact 404-604-9477.
If, after we get married, I find someone better.
Yeah.
It was horrifying. All the women are gasping right now. And the interesting thing was, she goes, oh. She goes, is that it? And I was like, wow, okay, what kind of woman are you? Yeah. And she goes, I know, right, that is not the response of most women, I'm sure. Like, slap, right? She said, of course that's going to happen. And I was like, what? She goes, Mike, as we get older, there'll be prettier, younger women. What you have to decide if you want to be with one person for the rest of your life, you have to choose your choice. And she's like, you have to wake up every single day and choose me. And then you have to wake up the next day and choose me. She said, Mike, this is not just for marriage, but this is for anything great that you're ever going to do in your life. If you're going to endure and persevere and do big things in life, you have to choose your choice.
Welcome back to the Mental Dialogue Talk Show. I'm your host, Montoya Smith, a.k.a. Black Socrates, highlighting Making Money Matter Mondays. This Monday, you just actually heard Ashley, the founder of Making Money Matter. She piped in on the show before the break. But we are doing romance without finance. So still considering covering these conversations when it comes, if you will, to relationships. And we also are featuring therapist Monique Knight from the boot camp commercial that you're hearing. So they have a 8-week boot camp for singles to understand a lot of what it takes to be in relationships. So definitely join us. Follow us on IG on Mental_Dialogue or go to mentaldialogue.com and text me or go to the contact information and we will send you the link for the free Zoom on Making Money Matter Mondays as we discuss romance without finance with our financial coach Ashley Thomas and psychotherapist Monique Knight. I also wanted to highlight we are a community club, so before we continue the show, I wanted to highlight one of my members. Tenway Obejafor, thank you, Queen, for getting on with us this morning. If you will, say hello to the Intellectual Outcast listening. This is a new segment we're adding to the show as we have Community Club members who are doing great things out there, and y'all need to know about it. So if you will, Queen, say hello, introduce yourself, and if you want to give a quick thought to what we're talking about, and then we want to let them know exactly what you're doing out there on YouTube, if you will. But thank you for jumping on with us, Tenway.
Hey, Montoya, and hey, Mental Dialogue family. I hope everyone is enjoying this day. All I want to say is that mental. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Go ahead, Queen. You good? You coming through loud and clear? Go ahead, Queen.
Okay. All right. All I wanted to say is Mental Dialogue has really been a blessing in my life, and in some ways. When Montoya speaks of networking and connecting community, for real, I've been able to connect people as well as gain connections. For example, I'm a reading specialist. I'm retired, not using that word. I'm really into my next chapter in life. But I did a workshop for teachers in Kenya. Shout out to Faith, who is a Mental Dialogue member. She hooked me up with that. I was already going to be in East Africa, and it flowed, and it was, I think it was powerful for them and for me and for the children's lives that they're going to touch.
Thank you for highlighting that connection. Dialogue and connect is absolutely what we do best. But again, you just to highlight this, you've been in well, you retired from education specifically as a teacher, if you will, after 40 years, but you're still continuing to teach children. So I love the fact that you were able to highlight. I was mentioning our international connections on the show just a few weeks ago, and I forgot about that you were able to, in a sense, hook that class up in Kenya, if you will. But the bigger thing and the reason we brought you on was to highlight how you're continuing to help those out, any of our listeners out there, how they can go to your YouTube page, because you're offering some of that same education via YouTube for children out there. So if we will, let's speak to your YouTube page and let people know how they can get access to help speed along, if I remember correctly, the literacy of the very young toddlers, if you will. So let's speak to exactly what you're doing, but thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for that. I do have a YouTube channel, and I'm still practicing learning and growing. It's called Reading Recipe, one word, DINGRECIPE, Reading Recipe. It's basically for parents and teachers as a supplement. Right now I'm starting the phonics portion and phonemic awareness portion, which is the foundation of literacy. And I started that because as I watched different YouTube channels, I didn't see enough representation of us. I mean, in some channels, even the animals have blue eyes. I'm like, where is this coming from? So I wanted to make sure that we are centered in these lessons, and they're basically short lessons as far as alphabet, blending, creating words, some grammar, when to use is, are, things of that nature. And so it's growing. I plan on going more into reading comprehension as I get better and instilling, integrating African history into reading comprehension and science, and nice. And that's to come.
But hey, now I love
if
it.
If you
Thank
have
you
a young
so
child.
Much. No, absolutely. Thank you so much. But yes, anybody out there listening, definitely want to start highlighting actually what our members do, because, again, we have professionals in a lot of areas. If you heard the original commercial on the show, most of them are in finance and therapy, if you will, but we have people like Achenwe, 40 years of educational experience, putting out YouTube videos for us, for children that look like, let them see themselves as they learn. You can't beat it. Reading Recipe on YouTube, can't beat it. YouTube.com, Reading Recipe. Go learn and introduce to your nieces, nephews, opportunities to learn to become literate via YouTube with videos where people look like us. Thank you, Achenwe, for your time. Appreciate you for jumping on with us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all you do, Montoya. You are definitely a shining bright light in our community. And continue. Asante
sana. Thank you very much. The check's in the mail for that last comment. But with that said, let's get back into this morning's discussion. Again, this is something that I wanted to start highlighting some of our members in the Nitsa Dialogue Community Club. This morning's discussion question, infidelity, stay, leave, or depends. I got 3478303. Been waiting on the line for a little while. Let's see if we can jump back and get their thoughts in reference to the actual discussion question this morning. Thank you for being on with us. What you got for us?
Peace and love, family. It's Sincere calling out of Atlanta. Hope everybody's well.
Absolutely. Thanks what you got for us. This is one of the top relationship coaches in all of Atlanta, y'all. So whatever he say, y'all better listen. Go ahead, King.
All right, brother. But what we're speaking on is exactly why we have an event today called Why Should I Get Married? Because that's what most of my clients ask me. Hey, since 2024. Or last year, even in 2023, why should I get married in today's times? Now, here's the thing. Most times we play semantics with words because we don't know the actual meanings of these words. Important words like love, marriage, husband, these things are centered around the commitment that you make to another person that you mutually and exclusively agree on. That's what it's about. Marriage is not paperwork. Marriage is the connection between two people, and they decide to commit at a level based on that commitment that they design for themselves, right? So it should be more so about your word, your integrity, your bond, your connection, your commitment, your dedication. That's what all of these words are about. So whether we call it boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, husband, wife, all of these words mean is that there's a level of connection that we subscribe to. The question is, what is that connection that we subscribe to? And then that'll tell you how you'll be able to move forward in whatever relationship that you design, right? So whether there's infidelity or cheating that happens, that tells you what level of commitment you're on. Now, based on that, there may be a need to redefine that connection, or we can decide, okay, we're not really married to the connection or the agreement or the commitment that we decided to have with one another. So it's best that we part ways, or we either need to redefine. And I'll leave it right there. But that's why we're doing Why Should I Get Married Today at 4 p.m.
Now, absolutely. Where can I get tickets for that? If is the ticket still available, or is it sold out, brother? Because if it is, go ahead and let it, get that out today too before we let you go.
Yeah, there are a few that's left. So you can tap in on Eventbrite, eventbrite.com, Why Should I Get Married?
Now, I love it. Thank you for your 3 cents. It's always brilliant. Definitely love what Cecile had to say about that. Actually, I think I'm going to put another caller in the queue. I'll try to give you the final thought. I know we only got a few more minutes before the show's over, but let me see if I can sneak one more caller in. 520, last 3652. I'm going to go ahead and bring you live on the air. You got to keep it quick, though. We only got a few minutes left on the show, so if you can give me a short comment, we'll let you get in.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming through loud and clear. We're going to give you about a minute, 20 seconds at the most. Go ahead and make it quick, Queen. Thank you for getting in with us.
All right. I just wanted to say that I think a lot of times when we go into relationships, we don't understand their perspective of what others may go through in terms of their emotional state. We need to determine how they operate when they're sad, when they're angry, when they're upset, when they're dealing with things, so we can be able to have that connection and be able to communicate in those roles and in those emotional states, so we don't get into the aspect where we are looking for another partner to be able to express ourselves. And I think when you're dating, you're missing that because you're determining if you like this person, not necessarily if this person's going to be compatible through all aspects of life.
Nah, that's a great point. Thank you for dropping that 3 cents. And what I'm hearing, Latrice, and I'll let you speak to it and maybe give us some closing thoughts as well. What I'm hearing in that last comment is basically moving all the way into a relationship, like to Cecilia's point, whether we're calling it boyfriend, girlfriend, or like I said, some level of commitment, marriage, if you will, that you may, in a sense, overlook. This is kind of what I took from what she's saying, that you're overlooking the things that you need to be aware of on, surviving conflict. And if you never figure that out, then that's where one of the first things that'll have you looking outside of your situation, because you're not considering that. You're only focused on, in a sense, what you're like. I don't know if I got the right context of what she said, but that's kind of what I gathered. Your thoughts, and then, like you will, just give us some closing thoughts. We only got a couple of minutes before the show ends.
Sure. I think that she's absolutely right that we do need to spend time getting to know folks and how they respond to various situations before we make a commitment to them. Oftentimes we are in a rush to relationship and we don't take into account those things. So that's very important. And that kind of leads to just my closing thoughts. You know, I think that if you not only get to know that person from the beginning of the relationship, but you continue to get to know that person and you continue to evolve your relationship and add in new experiences. One of the first books I read after my divorce when I was researching why my ex cheated was called Mating in Captivity by Dr. Esther Perel. And it talks about how when we're married that, you know, we think that we have to know everything about each other. But in knowing everything about each other, you also, now that you know everything about each other, where's the excitement? So you have to keep the marriage real. You have to keep it excited.
And that means you have to be intentional as to how you move in your relationship. If you want your relationship, your marriage, whether it's a marriage, boyfriend, girlfriend, committed relationship, if you want it to be monogamous between the two of you, then you never stop watering your own grass, because they will go out seeking that from somewhere else if they were actually ready to be married when they met you and got married.
Now, it makes sense. And again, we talked about some human evolution on this, and I'll just close real quickly with this. At the end of the day, if we're in a current value system where, if you will, cheating is the cardinal sin, if you know that about a significant other and you know you're going to risk your family, that in a sense should be enough for you not to break that if you know it's a deal breaker for your partner. That's what matters. It's not about what you think is right or wrong. See y'all next week. All I ask is that you think.